No more chains. I'm set free. I can dance. I can sing. I can run. Mr. Choir Master, do I qualify for next year's Easter anthem? Thank you. Are you sure you want an old man in a young man's choir? This is not the first time I'm here to speak at the Easter meeting in Jalan Imbik. I was here before any of you was born. I was here 50 years ago, and I spoke in this place. There were people outside. There was no extension yet. There were 300 people with seats outside wanting to listen to me. And as they waited anxiously to listen, After the choir, I went up and I spoke. I spoke for less than 5 minutes and I sat down. You want to know why? I won't tell you. You can't see me afterwards. Well, that was my experience at the Jalan Imbik Easter meeting 50 years ago. Today, I'm very privileged to be here again. And indeed, we shall be talking of something that has changed us, but we need to be free and no need to dance. I don't think I can dance. But there is something more precious that we must know, that while all of us look healthy and strong, somebody told me, Mr. Ang, you look 20 years old. I'm not sure that that was very sincere. Either his eyes were blind, or his mouth was not speaking the truth. So, today, on the outside, we may look very, very healthy and strong. And we think we are free, but actually we are not. We are not that free. Because there is something inside that is chained. And this something inside that is chained yearns for freedom. I am unchained. No more chains. I'm free. But can that something inside that is chained be free? Now, you look at yourself and you look at myself. We look healthy, we look all right. The last 1 week or two, I had at least three pieces of news of people who had died out of cancer. A few months ago, a few years ago perhaps, they had been down with cancer, but they perhaps did not know about it. And they thought they were free, but they were chained. Changed by the cancer cells, until much so that because of this infection, the cancer cells began to multiply and multiply and multiply and work itself out. And then finally, the patient himself or herself fell prey to the disease and died. So today, we are going to touch on a person who was a leper. And this is what the Bible said. We read, for example, I don't think you would like to have your Bibles with you, so I will just refer to it very quickly. You can go home and read about it, and then if you want the notes, you can later on find the file of the notes in my website, and you can upload it when you go home. All right, let me tell you very briefly. There was a condition of a person with a skin disease. We read that in Leviticus chapter 13, verses 1 to 8. And he was down with so-called leprosy. Now, we are not sure whether that was leprosy or not. In other Bible translations, it was translated as a skin disease. But it was a skin disease, and that which was very, very infectious and contagious. And so we find that he was so serious that the society would not be allowed to entertain him or to welcome him. He was sort of chained to this disease, which made him to be boycotted by the community. And so we read in chapter 13, verses 45 to 46, this man who was down, for the moment we just use leprosy, alright? Although we are not sure whether it was leprosy or not. We said that he was down with leprosy, a skin disease which was very infectious, and because of that he had to cry out, unclean, unclean. He was chained. He was chained. Chained. And nobody could help him. The clothes that he wore, because they had been close to the skin with the ulcerations of leprosy. So he had to cry out unclean, and the clothes had to be burned because they were contaminated. But somehow, if there was a possibility of his cleansing, then he must be declared officially, judicially clean. But to do so, he must go through a ritual, a process to confirm that he indeed he was clean before he could get back into society. And so we find that this is indeed the story of the birds that bloody. That's the title of my story to this evening. The birds that bloody. What would that mean? Well, let's see what I have to tell you about this being unchanged. The birds that bloody. After that, we have no time to deal with that. I may upload this section of my notes on the website, I'm not sure. But after the person has been cleansed, after the person has been unchanged, after the person is free, he is not free to do anything he likes. He is free now to serve God. And if you have that desire, this is what you should be listening to. Change. I'm unchanged. No more chains. I'm set free. This can be typified by the birds that we are going to see afterwards, the birds that were bloody. Let's begin with how this person was confirmed as down with plague. The law of the cleansing of the leper. Leviticus chapter 14, if it happened somehow that he was clean, then he must go through a ritual where he would have got to see the priest. And then the priest would have to examine him thoroughly in order to find out whether he was indeed clean. Otherwise he could infect other people. And so, let us read what somebody has to say. A Bible commentator said this: there were two things which claimed the priest's vigilant care, namely the purity of the assembly and the grace which could not admit of the exclusion of any member save on the most clearly established grounds. Holiness could not establish anyone to remain in who ought to be out. And on the other hand, grace would not have anyone out who ought to be in. Now, let me explain it to you in very brief words what it means. God wants all of us to be in His presence, to enjoy all that He can be to you. But He is holy. And because He is holy, anyone who is not holy, no matter how much the Lord loves you, you cannot come into His presence. On the other hand, if you are prepared to accept His conditions laid down for you to be holy, so that you can be holy before Him, if you are prepared to accept that, His grace must not push you out. His grace must bring you in. So today you are challenged with the holiness of God and the grace of God. The holiness of God demands that if you have sinned in your life, it must be punished. The grace of God demands and declares that if your sin is settled with, and you can settle your sin, then He has every right and responsibility to welcome you in. So, leprosy. Let me clarify what leprosy is. I take this from the internet. It's horrible, you know. If you have not seen a leprous person, now Penang, I come from Penang, we have got Pulau Gerujak. Pulau Gerujak was a leper island before. There were lepers there, and I had been there. And I saw those people without thumbs, without nose, without toes, and moving around. It's horrible. Horrible. And no one could dare to go near, although it was not quite contagious, except when you have open wound, then don't go near. And these people later on were moved to Sungai Buloh over here. Alright, so that Pulau Gerujak now is becoming a tourist island. Clean. Well, anyway, that's by the point. So the leper is a terrible patient to be in. Leprosy still exists. It affects between 200,000 and 250,000 more people each year. Please note the increase. Although today it is June 2017, it is a bacterial disease which affects the nerves, causing loss of sensation and paralysis in limbs. Leprosy is completely curable. That's the good news about it. Through a course of multi-drug therapy. Treatment is free, but many people are unaware, and that is the problem that today we face, not only with leprosy, but with sin. That all people have sinned, but they are not unaware, they are not aware that they have sinned, and they live on as free when they are chained to sin. Experts believe there are 3 million undiagnosed leprosy cases in the world also. 3 million leprosy cases, millions and millions of people who are sinners and who are not aware of it. An estimated 4 million people live with disabilities caused by leprosy. And how many millions of people today we know are chained by drugs, are chained by sin, are chained by pornography, are chained by all sorts of sins. They could not free themselves. It's true. These are things that chain us. Often people affected by leprosy experience discrimination and even violence. You see them today, even in Selangor, in Kuala Lumpur, on the roadside, homeless people, deported by their children, left behind by community. And these are the people, chained to something, to a habit, to a sin, to whatever it is, but they cannot do, and they are not free to do what they want to do, to enjoy the life that God has given to them. Let's come back to this story. The one with leprosy or the skin disease would be taken to the priest, and the priest would examine the person. The priest shall look and pronounce him, whether clean or unclean. All these found in Leviticus chapter 13. After experimentation of the plague, meaning that he is set aside for 7 days to see how the disease is developing, the ulcers on the skin, the ulcers on the nose, the ulcers on the toes and so on, how they are developing. For 7 days, he is isolated. And then after that, the priest will look at him again. For another, on the seventh day. Then after that, he shall shut him up another 7 days and shall look on him again. And then shall pronounce him clean if there is no more ulcer. But on the other hand, after coming to the conclusion that definitely this person, after the priest has been looking into his body and seeing any ulcers or not, and finding them, he shall pronounce him unclean. And not only he shall pronounce him unclean, this person has to be pushed out of the community, pushed out of the camp. Just as so many of these people, poor people, they were pushed out of their society, they were pushed out of their community, and they had to stay in Pulau Jerejak. And after Pulau Jerejak had been taken over by the Penang Island, then these people went over to Sungai Buloh. So we find that this would be just a simple picture of that which is the spiritual condition of a person. Now, for the priest to pronounce a person unclean was not an easy task. 7 days, 7 days, and on the real 14th day, he would have to pronounce him whether clean or unclean. Come on, us. God says we are sinners. God also examines us. God looks at each one of us into the heart. And we read in Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. Today, man looks at us on the outside, and man sees us on the outside healthy, strong. Oh, you look like 20 years old. When actually, there is inside him that burning disease that is developing, waiting for time for it to expose itself and then declare what it is. Cancer. Or whatever sexual disease. Or whatever discriminating infection. And then, if treatment is not given, the person will finally die. Let us realize, whether we like it or not, so long as we are in this life, we are chained. We are not free to do what we like, because the time is coming, sooner or later only, because of sin in our lives. And God has pronounced all to be sinful. Genesis chapter 18, verse 20 to 33. And God saw in Sodom and Gomorrah the terrible sin that was prevailing. Sin of homosexuality. And we see this not only for God seeing that thousands of years ago, but today it has come back. And today we find that homosexuality. Now, I'm not condemning the person, but I'm condemning the sin as God is condemning the sin. What welcomes the person to come back to him? But God condemns the sin that is in him. And all other sin, God has examined. And God, it seems as if God has come down to examine, to investigate, to experiment, so to speak, and then to declare unclean. The inevitable conclusion, as we read in Romans chapter 1, 18 to chapter 2, verse 1, is, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. Conclusion, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. You see, God is gracious. I told you just now, God is holy. And because God is holy, he declares all those who have sinned as sinners. All have sinned and come short of the holiness and glory of God. But at the same time, God is gracious. And he gives his Son to take your place, to bear the punishment, so that you can be free. Your chains can be set free. And you can now come into the presence of God. The Son, if he shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Do you believe that? This is an offer that God has given to you. Right, that's the condition. Now we come on to the condition of the leper. When he's diagnosed as with leprosy, his clothes shall be torn up. What does that mean? You know, we wear physical garments, material garments, but we also wear spiritual garments. And God says in Isaiah 66 verses, all your righteousnesses are filthy rags before God. We seem to put on a so-called righteous character, but inside we are as sinful as ever. Let us admit it. People see us outside as good and righteous and holy, so to speak, even, and religious. And you have to know, you just have to look around us in our country today, that those who claim themselves to be religious are the greatest sinners among all. Don't you agree? I don't answer. In your heart, you can answer me, but with your mouth, don't. There are so many religious people who can utter a lot of things. They are hypocrites because inside they are chained. They are chained. They cannot do much to free themselves for the lies and the corruption that they do. So the clothes, their righteousness so-called, are as filthy rags before God. Adam and Eve realized they had sinned and they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. How can fig leaves cover them? And God had to make coats for them. And to make coats for them, he had to kill a lamb. A lamb that was slain in order to provide the skin for them to have coats to wear them. And today, God can provide the skin of a lamb to give to us, to clothe us, instead of our attempt to cover ourselves unsuccessfully with fig leaves. The lamb that was slain, he died for us to take our place. No rationalization can save us. Nothing of philosophy, of reasoning and so on can really save us. It says that the leper, his head must be bare. Bare, B-A-R-E-D. So that he has no much reasoning can bring him to be able to save himself. In fact, God challenges. God says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be red as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. God can forgive because of his grace. No resources for his own. He has got to cry out, unclean, unclean. And while anybody will come by over to his side, he will cry, unclean, unclean. And the others must go away in case they get infected. He cannot touch others. And others cannot touch him. He's defiled, unclean, alone, outside. Now, physically today, you may not be like that. But spiritually, you are in the sight of God. Because you are unclean. And therefore, to be put aside. Other lepers cannot heal him. The religious leaders around cannot heal. Why do I say that? Because every religious leader you can ever think of has died and has remained in the grave and has not resurrected alive. They have paid for their sins. And unless their sins can be forgiven, they cannot rise again. And that's why they did not rise again. They remain in the grave. But Jesus rose again from the dead. We are going to prove this. No one can help the sinner when he has sinned. For the wages of sin is death. Therefore, he cannot even stay among his own people. He must go out, stay alone. Chained. You want to be free? Come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. He is separated from God. He cannot even come into the presence of God because God cannot allow a sinner to come into his holy presence. He is segregated from God's people. He had to go outside the camp. Alright. Now, how can this leper person be cured? First of all, I'd like you to note, if he realized that he wanted to be clean, the first thing he must do is to go to the priest. the priest. Once he went to the priest, we read, he would do nothing more. The priest then would take over and would do everything. For example, the priest would look at him, examine him. The priest would diagnose him and see whether he was properly clean. The leper does nothing at all. The priest then will go, the priest would go out of the camp. The sinner cannot come in. He must go out of the camp, reminding us that in order to save us from death and death, sin and death, Jesus had to come out from heaven to earth to meet us. We cannot go up to heaven. The priest shall take the sacrifice and dip it in the blood and sprinkle it. Ah, this is the one that we are coming to. The birds that were bloody. The offerer would come to the priest, and the priest would conduct a ritual. A ritual. What would he take? He would take two birds. Two living birds. Alright? He would take two living birds. I'm hurrying through here to, in order to pronounce the leper clean. If the priest said he's clean, and the leper would accept he is clean, then he will be clean. But let's see the sacrifice that he had to pay. Alright. Firstly, he must confess that he was sinless, he was a sinner, and he was willing to go for help to see the priest. And once that was done, he would be accepted. The priest would then take two birds, take for him to act on his behalf. In other words, the two birds that would be sacrificed, as we shall see, would take his place. He, by right, should go through what these two birds suffer. But he need not have to, because the two birds would be the substitute. And he would have to accept that sacrifice. What would be the sacrifice? Two birds. Two living birds. Leviticus chapter 14, verse 14. Now, these two living birds would represent an event in two aspects. Because it's just impossible for one picture to represent these two aspects of the event. And what are they? We shall find out. One bird was to be killed. And this bird, of course, these two birds would represent the two aspects of what Jesus came to do for us when he came down to earth 2,000 years ago. The one to be killed would point to the death of the Lord Jesus. And there was one, the other one would be released to represent Jesus in his resurrection. Now, why do I say that there could never be a picture that could represent Jesus in his death and resurrection in order to take the place of the sinner before God to show that he is clean? Because if a bird had died, had been slain, it could not rise again. So to depict that event, that when the bird died, he must rise again to represent Jesus' death and burial, two birds. So do not think of two different persons. It is two aspects of what one person was doing. Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again. One bird was slain, the other was released alive. How? Now that's interesting. The bird was to be slain, must be slain in an earthen vessel. In an earthen vessel made of clay. Why? This is to depict Now, firstly, the bird is to depict Jesus coming down from heaven down to earth. And the clay pot, clay, earth, would mean Jesus coming down to earth to be born as a man. Then it says that cedar wood, you see there, cedar wood and hyssop would be used to be tied to the dead bird. Afterwards, I'll show you. And with a scarlet thread, like this. The hyssop was a plant growing very low in the building. The cedar wood would be a very, that was hyssop. The cedar wood would be that strong, majestic tree. Now, we read in 1 Kings 4:33 that the cedar wood, the cedar tree, and the hyssop would be a range that would take in things in between, the extremes. The cedar wood, high, majestic. The hyssop, low and humble. And it would mean the extremities of man being sacrificed, that when we come to the priest for help to be cleansed, put aside your pride, put aside whatever makes you down, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Scarlet is the red color, is a dye, and that scarlet would signify the seriousness and solemnity of sin. That's why in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, God says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be red as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. This is the offer for your freedom. Your sins be dyed red, scarlet, cannot be removed. Although like that, it shall be with the blood of the Lord Jesus be washed, washing the dye away, it will become white as snow. This is offer the Lord Jesus gives. And so we find above the hyssop. Sorry, where has it gone to? Alright. We find that the hyssop, the cedar wood, and the scarlet would tie the branches to the bird that would be set free to let it go. This bird that would be set free would represent the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. One, a bird slain. Let me repeat, in case I confuse you a bit. The hopeless ritual would consist of this. The priest would bring along two birds. One bird would be killed in an earthen vessel, because that would depict Jesus Christ coming down to earth to be born as man. Then there would be a living bird. The other living bird would be dipped into the blood of the slain bird. The slain bird would have the bird, would have its blood dropped into the earthen pot in running water. The living bird with the hyssop, with the cedar, would be tied round it, dipped into the water in the clay pot. After that, it would be released. Meaning, the Lord Jesus came as a person to earth, he died, and then he bore our sins. That's why the hyssop, the cedar, and the scarlet. It was used to tie all this round the living bird, and he rose up. He died for our sins, and then he would free us from all our sins, so that once he rises up free, we who are represented by this aspect of that picture would be free. No more chains, all free. The living bird loose into the air, the bird that was bloodied fly up as a sign that he had died in your state and in my state. The bloody bird set free. My chains are gone. Dear friends, I ask you this evening, would you allow your place to be taken by the Lord Jesus Christ? He died for you. He was bloody for you. He shed his blood. And because he was a sinless person sent from God to be your Savior, he bore your sins in his own body. And then after that, because he was sinless, he rose again from the dead to show that God had accepted his act of substitution for you. My chains are gone. I am set free. Tonight is your opportunity to come to the cross and to accept what Jesus Christ had done. The blood set free. My chains are gone. How wonderful. How wonderful. Let us pray. Now while I'm praying and your eyes been shut, if you would like to indeed give your life to the Lord, to be free, your chains set free, and you would live a life of victory for the Lord, no more coming under the condemnation of sin, than this evening, right now, I hope you will follow me even my prayer on your behalf. You pray after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you this evening for showing me how I can be free from my sin. I acknowledge that I have been chained to a sin that has bound me, so that I am very unhappy. I am not able to do what I want to do. I feel so helpless in this condition. I am like an outcast. I am unclean. But God, I just heard that you have sent your Son to die for me, to be my substitute, to die on that cross for me. Lord, I would accept him as my Savior now, and I would that he now lives in me and through me, that I may live the kind of life set free from all sin, that I may live for thee. I claim the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Son of God shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Set me free, O God. Heavenly Father, we do pray that this evening, even as we have heard the prayer of certain people, certain individuals in this gathering, to be free, we do pray that you will give them the assurance that they indeed can be free from their sin with their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help them, O Lord, and go and enter their lives and make the changes that can free them from all sin. Hear us, Lord, even as we commit ourselves to thee for the rest of this night and the things that follow. We give you thanks in Christ's precious name. Amen. For those of you, in case you would like to know the members in the assembly, I have a website, and every Sunday I come out with a devotion to prepare believers for the Lord's Supper. If you are interested, you can always download it from my website, which I shall give you the URL, and also from Facebook. Like, for example, today, there is already my devotion out there for those who want to come prepared for the Lord's Supper. And the devotion is, He is risen, as He said. And those of you who want to take down the notes that I have put up on the screen, as well as download the PowerPoint and also listen to what I have said again, these three files are available on my website, as you can see on the URL. Thank you very much for your patience.